Heavenly Father, by your great goodness, we are permitted to enter your house and to worship in your holy temple. Lead us all, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of our sins. Guide us in our worship on this Christmas morning so that we may grow in grace and truth to honor and praise you for bestowing upon us the indescribable gift of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And welcome to all of you on this Christmas morning to our Christmas Day worship service. In the name of Jesus, in the name of our triune God, the Father who planned out the plan of salvation, the Son who carried it out in time and space history 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit who blesses us through the Word with trust in the Christ of Bethlehem, our Savior God. We open with the carol as noted, and please note in the service today that each of the hymn numbers is in your bulletin and also the various stanzas that we will be singing. So let's join together in singing Joy to the World, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. That's hymn 387, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Stand for the opening liturgy as printed in your bulletin. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
Unto us the Christ is born.
O come, let us worship him.
Shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
He has
He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. May be seated. Today's service consists of a selection of various Bible lessons and Christmas carols and devotional thoughts. And our first scripture lesson is the familiar Christmas story recorded by Luke in the second chapter. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far, the Christmas story. And the devotional thoughts that will be shared on this Christmas day are drawn from writings of Martin Luther, and they are based on the familiar Christmas prophecy recorded by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Here you see the prophet speaking about the kingdom of peace, because he boasts about a child born and a son given, who will be the head and king of this kingdom. And therefore, it will be a kingdom of peace, not of chaos and strife. All these words are strong and intense. Earlier in his book, Isaiah spoke about great affliction, darkness, and the shadow of death. Likewise, he spoke about the law, sin, and death, and most oppressive tyrants. Against them, he now places the king who will be born and given to us, who is to set us free from these tyrants and implant us into his peaceful and happy reign. He now goes on to explain what kind of a reign that is. The government of Christ are we, whom he carries on his shoulders. Oftentimes, the kingdoms of the world are carried like a heavy burden on the necks of the people who are mistreated and brutalized by those who reign over them. Therefore, this is a big difference between the kind of ruling that is done in the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of Christ. In the kingdoms of the world, the prince or king alone is free, while all others are his servants. In Christ's kingdom, he alone is the servant, and we all have been set free. So it is to the present day with Christ, once for all. Thanks to the painful burden of the cross he willingly bore for us. Now he commands his ministers and all of his subjects to carry each other's burdens. Thus, in Christ's kingdom, those who serve rule, and those who rule serve. Our next carol is the one numbered 375 in the maroon hymnal. We'll sing the four stanzas of this hymn. Come, your hearts and voices raising, stanzas 1-4. Be called Wonderful Counselor. The kingdom of Christ is beyond our grasp, reason, and experience. Here we must poke out the eyes of our reason with all its wisdom and judgment and cling in childlike faith to what he says. We must believe that his righteousness is ours as a gift. Our reason would lead us to lean on our own righteousness, not on someone else's. We must believe that life, glory, righteousness, and peace are ours through Christ, even when we feel death, shame, sin, and trouble. Lest we come short in our faith, he gives us the counsel of his holy word, in order that our faith may be strengthened and sustained, and so that we may continue to enjoy the wonderful government of his kingdom of peace. Truly, this is no ordinary word. It's a word of power that is able to help us in every need and in every danger. Now we join in singing the next carol, A Great and Mighty Wonder, hymn 383, and we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4, hymn 383. His name will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. The word in the original Hebrew of the Bible for God is El, a word that signifies one who is exceedingly strong and powerful. The name Mighty God does not depict the person or nature of our King, but his wonderful government of the kingdom over which he exercises complete control and which enables him to come to the aid of the weary and those who are spent by trials. The name Everlasting Father shows what is the work or business of this king, which is to enlarge and increase his reign in the hearts of more and more people through the preaching of his gospel word. Through the gospel word, he continues to beget new children, and he always rules over them with his love. He remains their dear father. He never assumes the role of harsh tyrant. His children are always his beloved. The everlasting kingdom over which he rules is beyond question a most delightful kingdom. In our next carol that we sing is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we'll come back and do that Bible lesson I skipped by mistake. So let's sing Hark the Herald Angels, hymn 380, stanzas 1 and 2. Let's first hear that scripture lesson from Matthew chapter 1. This is a shorter account of the birth of Jesus that the gospel writer Matthew records in his book in chapter 1, 18 through 23. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now let's read together the next lesson on page 3. From 1 John 3, verses 1 to 5. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. In the next devotional reading of Luther, on the next portion of that messianic prophecy from Isaiah 9, his name will be called Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In the kingdom of Christ, there is grace, comfort, forgiveness of sins, joy, and peace. God does not deal with the transgressor in sternness, but in tender mercy. This is the sum and center of all Bible teaching. Our God has justified us by his grace, that is, declared us not guilty of wrongdoing for the sake of Jesus. An inner peace of heart and mind follows from our being justified. As St. Paul writes, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Such is the kingdom over which Jesus is Prince. The growth of this kingdom is not hindered or curtailed by the trials and the sufferings that we believers experience. It is advanced and promoted. It has been fertilized by the blood of Christian martyrs. The more outward distress we experience in our lives, the more deeply does this peace of Christ become rooted in our hearts. We pray, Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that of your mercy and compassion you caused your Son to become incarnate and through him redeemed us from sin and everlasting death. We beseech you, enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit that we may ever be thankful for such grace and comfort ourselves thereby in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Our next carol is hymn 368, Angels We Have Heard on High. upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. There will also be that abundance of peace and eternity of reign which denotes the resurrection of the dead. David ruled on earth, but his kingdom was no different from other earthly kingdoms in that his citizens were mortal men and his reign over them was physical. But in due time, the King of Kings began a spiritual reign over his people, which is perpetual. To believe in the life everlasting is the last and greatest article of our faith, which we confess joyfully each Sunday in the Apostles' Creed. However, Christ prepares, establishes, and strengthens this kingdom in the world in a quiet, hidden way, through the still small voice of the gospel and through the faith in the Savior which the Holy Spirit plants into our hearts by the sweet and powerful message of that gospel word. Let's now join in confessing our faith according to the confession as printed on page 4, a selection from one of our Lutheran confessions of faith, the Formula of Concord, and selected verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We believe, teach, and confess that God's Son from eternity has been a particular, distinct, entire divine person. Yet he is true, essential, perfect God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, he received also the human nature into the unity of his person. He did not do this in such a way that there are now two persons or two Christs. Christ Jesus is now in one person at the same time, true eternal God, born of the Father from eternity, and a true man born of the Virgin Mary. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Carol, hymn number 361, O Little Town of Bethlehem, verses 1 and 3. Thank you. our concluding devotional reading, the last portion of that messianic prophecy, where Isaiah wrote, "To order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Judgment is that part of God's word which condemns sin. Justice, righteousness, is that part which absolves or forgives sin. In the kingdom of Christ, the ungodly are judged and condemned, while the godly are justified, saved, and set free from sin and death. They are party of a happy reign in which God's mercy and undeserved love are abundantly bestowed. Zeal is a love that is mixed with hatred, might be called an angry love. Therefore, while God loves us, he is angry with our enemies, with sin, with death, and with Satan, so that he can more abundantly practice his love toward us. Here there's nothing but mercy, amazing indeed, but surprising to none of those whom he's adopted as his children through faith in Jesus, his Son. I invite you to stand for the closing prayer, and then we'll also join in the Lord's Prayer. And before we have the the prayer, there's a special petition we desire to offer on behalf of Louise Rutherford, one of our members who's was tested positive for COVID a little over a week ago. She's experiencing mild symptoms. She's under quarantine where she lives. And then the prayers of the congregation also requested for the sister of Mike Springler, Ann Springler. She lives in Marquezan, Wisconsin. She also tested positive for COVID and has experienced some very severe symptoms and is currently in the hospital in Wisconsin. So we pray for Louise and Ann. O Father of mercies and God of all comfort, our only help in time of need, we humbly beseech you to behold, visit, and relieve your servants, Louise Rutherford and Ann Springler, for whom our prayers are desired. Look upon them with the eyes of your mercy. Comfort them with a sense of your goodness. Preserve them from the temptations of the enemy, and give them patience under the affliction of illness they each are bearing. In your good time, restore them to health, if it be your will, and enable them to live the remainder of their lives in your fear and to your glory. And grant that finally they, together with us all, may dwell with you in life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And precious Savior, we rejoice at your birth because we know that you came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. We look beyond the manger to the cross, where your precious blood was shed to cover our sins from God's sight forever. Bless our faith this day as we stand in reverent awe before your manger bed, contemplating the mystery of your incarnation, and again as we bow our heads in humble contrition, confessing our sins before your cross. May we never lose sight of the cross as the purpose for your coming. As we reach out our hearts to you in loving adoration and in penitence and trust, forgive our sins, quicken us with hope, settle us with peace, and renew in us the joy of eternal life. Precious Savior, you are the light of all the earth. The message of salvation in your name is meant to gladden every heart. And so we pray that you would send out your light and truth to nations everywhere, that every knee may bow before you and every heart worship you as true God incarnate, who came to earth to save all people from their sins. Encourage and equip us as your witnesses to bear the gospel to others, beginning with our own families and the unchurched people in our own neighborhoods. In the new year that lies ahead, keep your light of love and truth shining brightly in our hearts by faith. Watch over us lest we be led aside into paths of sin or unbelief, which can only lead to destruction. Increase our understanding of your word and give us wisdom to apply that word to our daily lives. And finally, dearest Jesus, shower us with your many blessings in the coming year, satisfying our needs as you are wont to do. As we watch for your glorious return, may we do so with confidence and joy as people who have become true children of the Father through faith in his Son. Give heed to our many prayers that we offer to our Heavenly Father in your name, and be ever ready to intercede with him in our behalf. We adore you, we worship and serve you, our Savior and King. Amen. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all hope and peace and believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for the closing carol, hymn 373.